Ever wanted to know what it takes to become a successful trader? Alex shares his journey to becoming a trader and interviews successful traders along the way to help you. You're listening to Be the Trader.
Hey everyone, I just want to take a quick moment to let you know I'm partnered with the Cobra Trader. They're a great broker, give great discounts to all my listeners, especially if you're a short seller. Check them out, let them know you heard from the show. Hey guys, I just want to take a moment to share with you some awesome news. I just started a newsletter and you're probably like, what's so awesome about that? Well, it's not your typical newsletter because I'm going to give back to you, the people who subscribe to the newsletter. Number one, you will be getting updates on my YouTube exclusive videos, the podcast episodes, and articles and blogs all about trading. But how is it different? I'm going to give back to you guys. I'm going to select randomly different subscribers who are in the newsletter and give them either the opportunity to have a one-on-one call with me. Maybe I'll give them a free trading book, one of my favorite trading books, just to name one, Trading in the Zone. Also, and not only, because there's many, many more ideas that we're going to be doing and implementing, but another idea is maybe win the Billions box set. There's a popular show on Showtime, Billions. If you don't know about it, definitely look it up because it should be everyone's favorite show if you're a trader. At least it's one of my favorites. So I want to give back to you guys because you guys mean a lot to me. And I just don't want to only provide content, but I want to say thank you, right? And I provide content by saying thank you, but I also want to say thank you by giving back. So thank you guys, and you guys take care. Welcome back, everybody, to Be the Trader. Today, I have a very special guest. His name is Dan Irish. Dan has been consistently profitable and got himself out of his own hole back in 2018 and has been profitable ever since. And today we're going to be learning a little bit more about Dan and what got him into trading. So Dan, welcome to the show, my man.
What's up, Alex? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. I was introduced to you by a gentleman named Bryce Tuohy, who is also a host of another show called Beyond the PDT. So I wanted to bring you out. He told me you helped him out a little bit. And I was like, you know what? I like people who help other people. That's what I'm about. I'm about helping traders grow. And I thought, why not bring you out? Let's bring you in. Let's get you here to share some insight and maybe you can throw on some knowledge for other people to learn. So Dan, if you could tell us a little bit about what got you even started in the trading and then we'll take it from there.
So, I mean, just getting started, I've always been into games. I've liked them. I've been competitive in that sense. Growing up, in college and stuff, man, it wasn't doing it for me. And I ran into one of Tim Sykes' videos online. Nothing special, you know, just him talking about his little niche, how he does it, and he made a lot of money doing it. So I just thought, well, I mean, anything's better than what I'm doing now. Like, I might as well look into it. And I had a lot of fun. It just felt like a game to me, and that's where it started.
And what year was this?
This was 2017, so I started around December of 2016. Okay. In 2017 is when I really, you know, opened my broker at E-Trade and just started trading with a big account, which was not a good idea, by the way.
Yeah, I did the same thing. I lost a lot of money that way. So,
painful lessons.
What got you, like, did you just jump in? You opened the account, like, as soon as you found out there was trading, you opened your account, and then you said you just jumped in and just started buying, shorting. Give me an idea. Like, what did you immediately start doing?
So, you know, I knew the PDT rule was a thing, and I just saw three trades a week. Like, what? I can't have that. I got to have more. So I opened a 30,000 brokerage account, you know, and just so I could get over PDT rule. Now, what I did not realize is that I could have just gone with a cash account, and it actually, it's very effective. You know, like, I think when I restarted, I had a 10,000 cash account, so I could split up, you know, 5,000 each day, split it up into maybe $1,000 capital per trade. You know, so I'm working with five trades a day as opposed to three a week. And that's what I wish I would have done. Now, yeah, jumping in with 30K, I was just going long, you know, just kind of jumping in the hot stocks that were up a ton pre-market, just buying them right out the gate. You know, it's just not the way to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm very curious on you So you said you had two accounts when you started back over at 10,000, 5,000 each for five trades because you cap you
right,
1,000 per trade.
Is it that was one account.
Oh, cash account. That's what it was.
One account, but I did kind of act like it was two accounts because I only allowed myself to trade 5,000 on Monday, for example, and then Tuesday I would have that 5K settled so I could trade again.
That makes sense. So for everyone who's listening, just to let you guys know, just in case you're like, what's a cash account? Dan did something very smart here, and you don't need to worry about PDT. If you, you know, you can have $5,000, $10,000. In this case, he had 10, and you could trade using only $1,000 per trade, right? And if that cash settles within a day or two, then you can retrade again and just keep that up over and over. And you can basically trade multiple times a day. And so
that's
exactly what you did.
And doing that, I mean, it was incredibly frustrating, and I did have to be very selective. So I had to play very volatile stocks that were between $1 and $3, you know, just because I had to really manage the capital optimally, you know. So it was very frustrating, and it definitely limited me, but it was an important step, I feel, in my growth going forward.
So when you did start, what was the biggest challenge for you at the beginning? And like, what was something that was keeping you back to really start to find some kind of like headway in your own trading?
I think fear was a big one. And I was the type of trader, I would jump in things. Now, I never had an issue cutting losses. My biggest challenge was actually letting my winners run. So I was more of a fear-based personality. So that was my issue. And also just kind of accepting and embracing kind of the period of just learning. So, you know, when I got crushed, I did end up paper trading for 8 months, you know, afterwards. And I'm, you know, not everybody has to do 8 months. That's a bit excessive, but I had to kind of heal from my wounds. Essentially, I just embraced that learning period where I'm like, you know what, I'm going to show up. I'm going to put in my all. Money's not on the line, so that emotional interference wasn't there. I could just really focus on the learning.
And take me back a little bit because I skipped a little bit there. So you got crushed. Explain what that means. Like, what happened when you did start with that $30,000 account? Like, what actually happened? Did you lose it all? Like, give me another understanding.
So I ended up, I had $34,000 to my name, and I ended up losing 2/3 of my, you know, of basically the money I'd saved up since 16 years old. And now I was 21. So money I saved up for 5 years, I lost within maybe 3 months, 2/3 of it. It was tough, but I wasn't going to let myself go completely bust. Coming from a poker background, I know you need money to make money. And if I blow it all, it's going to make my life a lot harder. So I just had to basically quit with around $15,000, you know, left in cash in my bank. And had the part-time job grind, and I paper traded full-time to really learn, you know, worked at night, and then just little by little would add to my my account from the profits and from my job until eventually I got back up to over PDT.
And were you just, did you just get crushed? Do you think, I'm using the words you use. I got crushed too, by the way, if you don't know. I lost a fuck ton of money when I first started. I had a lot of money. And so I just threw in, I didn't care. I didn't care about losing 10 grand. I didn't care at all. So I feel you on that. And it sucks after the fact. It was terrible. I was just an idiot personally. But I'm curious, like, you said you were still in school, right? And you were working and you were trading?
Well, I was just doing school and trading for when I was losing. Mm-hmm. And then basically I dropped out of college and just started to trade full time and work. I think my issue was I felt like I had to be a successful trader before I could live the life I wanted to live, which was getting out of school because I was miserable. And some people are miserable in college and some people love it. I was the lowest, you know, point of my life, basically. I just realized that I could live the life I wanted to live right now, even if I wasn't successful yet. And that's when I dropped out. That's when I went full-time paper trading, you know, and obviously I had some help. I owe it all to my parents for not kicking me out of the house. You know, they gave me a place to stay rent free. And for that, I will always owe them, you know. And I know not everybody is in that fortunate position, but that was definitely a big part of how I got things together as well.
No worries there. And hats off to your family and helping you out. That's awesome. I'm curious, whenever you said you were full-time paper trading, give me an idea, like, for those 8 months, first off, that's badass that you did that for 8 months, because it's hard for anyone to even do it for a month. Like, I went through such times where I did it for like a month, 2 months, to really see what will work better and then go back to my real account. So I think it's a great strategy to do, especially if you got hit, you know, especially if you got hit kind of hard, you're trying to get your confidence back. What got you that confidence during those 8 months? Like, what did you start to see that you were good at?
I saw the little tendencies that would kind of happen over and over. And, you know, they weren't random. They were things that were happening very consistently. And essentially, I was able to just start nailing entries, entries that would go my way, and actually start to lock up 20, 30, 40% in some cases ROI. And that was huge. And once I started consistently doing it, I just realized, okay, I mean, I've got something. The math here is very profitable. And yeah, it's paper trading, but I really think I could do it with real money. And that's when I started to make that shift back into the cash account and giving it another go.
How long of that 8 months did you find that? Like, when did you find that? We're like, oh, this is working. Like, in the first, after the first 4 months, like the last half, like, where was it at?
I would say it was probably like 4 months in is when I started to really start like nailing stuff and actually stick to my plan. Like, I would just buy in and just wait it out and just really wait for that trend to work. And I started to get better at predicting which stocks, you know, had a high chance of spiking, and also predicting kind of where they would flow to based on maybe the scale the ticker's flowing in, and the history, you know, all those things, just getting better at recognizing and reading level two, you know, like little things like that, just getting better at all the different factors. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What were you using as a paper trading account?
So StoxyTrade. I just, you know, just signed up, and they have an option where it's like you can trade using the real time market data, and a little arrow pops up when you buy. I thought it was really cool.
Yeah.
And very helpful, because it felt like the real thing, you know.
And so I'm trying to get understanding, when you did find what was working for you, you said about midway through, then you continued for another 4 months with that process. Is there a reason behind that?
It's tricky because things get blurry, because at a certain point in time, I think I started to trade again with my cash account, but at the same time I was paper trading just because I wanted to practice on maybe things I thought were lower quality trades, and conserve my capital. Or if I ran out of settled funds, then I would just practice the rest of the day to get in the experience. I think I was just so emotionally torn, you know. It's like, it just took me such a long time to even be willing to enter the market with real money again. So I just, that's why I didn't, you know, I almost didn't believe it as far as like when I was nailing wins. I just wasn't quite sure yet, you know, if I could handle it. Yeah.
Whenever you use your real account, and you went from, because you were trading paper for some time after, you know, it took a loss, went paper for a while, found what worked, then you went to your real account. Was it challenging? Like, did you get used to the paper mindset at all? Like, because, like, did you kind of get a little comfortable with the way paper trading was? And then was there a little tough transition at first? And then you had to catch wind again? Like, give me an idea how that transition was.
Yeah, so my take was, paper trading doesn't feel like real money. There's no emotions in it. How can I trade with real money and feel like this? And so I realized I would have to just practice, like a lot of experience in paper trading, because the point is, you don't want your real money to feel like real money. You want it to feel like a game. You want to just get the emotions straight cut out of your trading. So when people, you know, they say, well, I can't paper trade, it doesn't feel like real money. why do you want it to feel real? You know, like you want it to feel fake. So, what was the original question?
No, you're fine. You're fine. I just want to know if there was a challenge with transitioning from the paper to the real account, even though, because right, it doesn't feel real, right? But then when you get into the paper, there's some emotion. I mean, the real account, there's going to be some emotion coming back.
So when I came back, I was still losing. Mm-hmm. And I went on a $1,000, maybe $2,000 downswing. But the thing is it was spread over like a 3-month period. So I was, you know, my rate of losing was cut by like 90% as far as I had control. Like I was continuously taking the same, the dollar loss was the same throughout that period of time. So it was all controlled. And that was kind of just me getting, just shaking the emotions off and just getting my confidence back. And then like it clicked where I just nailed a real money trade for like $800 or $500, $600, $700. And then after that moment, you know, and things just started to click like that. That was the very beginning of how I was able to turn the ship around, you know, and just go from there.
So it did take some time. Like when you went to the real money, it took a little while to trade the same way you were trading before because the emotion came back. Okay. Any advice for someone who is probably going to deal with that soon, who's doing paper trading and they're like, man, I'm killing it, Dan. This is just like a game. You're right. I don't know why people complain about trading paper money. I'm doing my real account January 1st. I'm funding $30,000. Here I go. Like, what do you have to say to them? Any warning or any tips?
Well, as long as you prove yourself to some degree, like with the paper trading, I mean, I did prove to myself that I knew what to look for, what to buy. I had an idea of how to be profitable. And then as long as you're in control, like even though I was taking losses, I didn't stop real money trading because I knew, okay, this is controlled. The losses that I take, like a lot of the things that's happening is I'm still making those not following my plan mistakes. So it's like, okay, if I just followed my plans and if I get my discipline up, the equation would be very profitable because I could see the things that I sold would go to the moon. So it's not like I was flying blind. Like I knew I was very close to a big breakthrough and I just had to. That's when you want to grind, when you can feel that you're close, you don't feel lost. You know exactly where your mistake is and you're working on that mistake and you're not losing that much money. That's when you should be using the real money, you know, and not be too down on yourself about losing. So it's just that random gambling, emotional trading that everybody knows what it feels like. That's what you want to avoid and that's when you should slow down.
So in other words, there's also a time period where whenever you went back to real money, that time period where you like you knew what your plan was, the problem wasn't that you weren't executing, like that you weren't trading properly per se, like the right trades, the right setup. It was more so that you might get out because you were nervous from previous experiences, so you didn't stick with your whole plan. You were taking unnecessary losses that maybe would have been a winner if you stuck it the whole way through. And because of that, you saw that and you're like, man, I already know how to trade. This is showing me right now that the only thing that's interfering with me is my emotions. So you just saw that, acknowledge it. And then obviously it's easier said than done. You just keep working at that and saying, you know what, once I enter my trade, you got to stick with the plan and follow the way through and not just get shaken out because of my fear.
Yeah, you nailed it. And that was basically probably over a year, man. Like, it took an unbelievably long time and I probably made the same mistake, you know, hundreds of times. And that happens, you know, it happens. Sometimes you need to keep making the same mistake until you finally overcome it, you know, and that moment, that moment where things shift and you finally can have control over yourself, you know.
What was that mistake for you that you were just like, golly, like I just got to just get over this one thing. I keep on trying to fix it. What was that for you?
Always selling too soon.
Give me that. Selling too soon when it's against you and for you or just a certain way?
Only when it's working for me. You know, I have like a quick cut approach. So actually my entries are very precise. And so I really like precision. And so when something goes against me, more times than not, it's because, something's wrong, and I don't mind a quick cut in that case. But it's always when I get in, I'm riding the trend, it's working the way I want it to work. I have a defined risk that I said, okay, I'm going to risk this. Or even when it surges up, maybe at that point, a lot of times you can just risk break even. But the point is, I couldn't hold it for more than like 5-10 minutes. And it's like some of these plays you got to hold for a couple hours. So, that's really what it was all about. Just letting them work for me once they've proven they're working, and just have some patience.
How did you learn to overcome that fear of giving away some of your profits whenever you were trying to hold it for the move?
Get frustrated enough times and you begin to change your actions. That's what I would say.
That's so true though. It's so true. It's like, I'm done with this. Cause if I want to be successful, I just got to hold this thing and actually let it run. And everyone listening, just make sure you understand. I know Dan said that he'd sometime move it to break even. It all depends on your strategy. So don't just take what Dan says and say, oh, I should always move to break even, because Dan's also a short-term scalper per se, but sometimes he likes to hold for the big move. So just know that depending on your strategy, how you enter, it's all dependent on you. So don't just take anything I say, anything Dan says, anyone says, and just say, oh, that should apply to me right away. Take it, understand it. You could try it, but just know not every way that someone trades should fit you. Just FYI. I'm curious, Dan, on something else. You're a scalper. Have you always been a scalper? And if not, if so, then, why? Like, why haven't you tried other things? I'm just curious.
I'm a scalper because of my issues with patience. So it's not necessarily by choice. It's more like something, maybe even a personality flaw. There's a lot of plays where I've nailed really nice entries. And, recently, I'm not going to go into it a ton, but, just something quick off the top of my head was DPW. I had 10,000 shares from 197. I wanted to hold it for 290s. The chart was holding perfectly fine. It was a pretty clear swing setup, and it called for a swing, and I just wasn't disciplined enough. I ended up selling it for $600 or so, but the next day, it had peaked at 9. So 70,000 peak upside. Now, obviously, I would have sold it probably pre-market around 3 for the $10,000 win, but that's why I'm a scalper. It's not really, it's mostly because I lack discipline, I suppose, in some cases.
I beg to differ. I think your reason you're a scalper is what you said at the beginning. I think it's more of, it suits you. I think what a lot of people hear is like, oh, I want to try this strategy because I like this guy's a great trader at this. But I think at the end of the day, you need to discover who you are. And I think you need to discover what fits you, right? And I think you found that. At first it might've been a weakness, like, man, I'm not holding like everyone else or whatever it may be. But then you're like, well, wait a minute, I can scalp, I can trade different and fit it to the way I like to trade. And I think you did that. And now I think it's a huge part in why you're starting to grow even more, right? Is because you know what you're good at, and now you're trying to get better at it and expand on it and grow from it. Of course, you can always adapt and try to hold longer if you'd like. But at the end of the day, that's who you are. You like that way of trading. So I think, for me, I did something similar. I tried scalping. I tried all kinds of stuff. And for me, I'm an intraday swing trader. Like, I like to hold all day. Like, I just, that's just how it works for me. I just can't scalp. And I know people who scalp, and I used to be like, how do they do that? And I just can't do it. So everyone has their edge. And so I appreciate you being honest and letting us know that you thought, it could be a flaw, but I think it's more of an opportunity that you saw that you can, adjust and become this type of trader. So good job for you for that, man.
Yes. Yes. I mean, I find it fun, the challenge, as far as, you get to a certain point, a certain level of experience over the years, and it's like, I know which ones are going to be good scalps, and I know which ones might be, they might be good scalps, but you can maybe mix in, perhaps I could sell half, let half run, just like challenging myself when I know that it's appropriate to maybe try to hold for a bigger trend. I just think it's fun to challenge myself, like, I'm not quite there. I got plenty of years to work on it, but definitely number one, know what your strengths and weaknesses are and then build your strategy around it. As far as like, I knew I was just such a scared trader. I had to get precise entry zones where I knew I was kind of jumping into a fresh trend that would work for me. So I would pretty much instantly be up money and instantly have that emotional kind of stability that I needed to hold a play. So that's why I have such precise entries. Not, you know, it's because that's what I had to do to be profitable based on my weaknesses. So that's just,
That makes sense. That makes sense. And give us an idea, because I know people are probably listening to you and they're probably like, well, what do you mean? How do I get precise entries? Like, how do you get that, like, for yourself?
I watch a lot of stocks and I, on my second monitor, just kind of analyzing what's developing, what's flowing, what's, you know, what is holding, maybe holding gains and having the type of consolidation that I like and look for. And then once that I see, you know, that something's looking good, you know, I'll pull it up, take a closer look, look at how level two is acting and moving around, and try to just wait until this last pinpoint moment when I think the surge is going to come in, and I anticipate it by a very small kind of window. I try to jump in before large volume comes in.
And could you give a better idea of just for someone who might want to improve on their own entries, like an idea of what you mean by that moment, what you're looking for?
Sure. So I would look up symmetric triangles. That is what I specialize in. They're tricky, you know. Don't just think, oh, it's to making a triangle, I can jump in. Like, no, there's a lot more to it. A lot more, but that is like a good start, I would say.
Yeah. So basically when the two points, a symmetrical triangle, when they come together, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So just to reiterate what Dan just said, just so you guys know, yes, those could be good entry points, but remember, Dan's looking at this over and over and over and over and over again. And if you're going to try just draw triangles and think you're going to get entries, like what you want to do is practice, 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 practice until you see which ones actually work and what happens when they work, and ask those questions. So, because if we went into all those details with the share screen, well, this wouldn't be a podcast. This would be a whole trading course, and that's what this is about. But anyway, with that being said, before we start to wrap this up, Dan, I want to know a couple of things. Number one, if there is something that you could go right now, if you can get to a time machine, go back in the past and sit with yourself and say, Dan, and give him one piece of advice so he can hurry up and get to where he is right now, what would you tell him?
Stop being so stubborn and hard-headed in paper trade, you stupid.
Yeah.
The thing I would say, I never thought, because I started losing, I started to size up, and I started to chase my losses. And I thought, as long as I can just make my money back and be break even or whatever, I'll feel so much better. So I kept going bigger and bigger and bigger. I never thought that I would ever do that, because I only thought the stupid people did that. And once you get emotionally compromised, the point I'm trying to make is you just don't know what can happen. You don't know when you're going to lose yourself. And it's very risky. So just know, if you're the type of person that just thought that's not going to happen to me, you might be the one at risk of it.
Amen. Amen to that. Amen to that. And for those who are listening, make sure, you know, start small, guys. Start small, because if you start big, you could lose a lot real quick in this game. And the last thing, Dan, and then I'll let you tell people where they can find you, get more information about you. If there's a new trader and they come to you and they're like, man, Dan, you know what? My problem is that I just don't know, like, I don't know how to make money trading. Like, I don't know how to actually buy at the right place. I don't know where to sell. Like, what should I do, Dan? Like, any advice for that person?
If you don't know, you should paper trade, and you should use the real-time market data as your guide. Like, it's telling you things. There's things that are happening in front of your face, and it's all pieces of information. So try to use those pieces of information and put them together the best that you can, the way that makes sense to you, that feels right, and then paper trade that a bit and just work on it. You know, it's like taking a shot. It's like a sport. It's like a shot. You know, what do the pros do? They take thousands and thousands of shots from different points on the court. They practice free throws, you get the point. They're working on their muscle memory. They're working on all those things. And I think trading is a lot of the same. So just work on it.
Good, good. And curious, Dan, where could people find more information about you, man, if they have any questions or just want to follow you up?
Yeah, so just, my Twitter handle is @DansGamePoker. And all my links are basically on my Twitter. So
cool, cool. And you need to change that to Dan's Game Trader or something.
No, I don't really
play poker anymore. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much, Dan, for being here, my man. It was a pleasure, brother.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you talking with me.